From the lakefront to the riverfront, this is where Wisconsin sports fans come to talk. The Bill Michaels Show. Now, here's your host, Bill Michaels.
Welcome, the Bill Michaels Show. We continue on. We are certainly glad you are with us. Thanks so much. Appreciate you hanging out with us, and glad that we can keep you company. I'm Bill Michaels, broadcasting from my humble abode, Radio Joe Zenzola, producing the program in our studios alongside Evan Heffelfinger as well, taking all the information behind the glass and keeping you informed. And we're going to – this steps back when I start to listen – to stories about the days of Bum Phillips. I'm thinking of Billy White Shoes Johnson. I'm obviously thinking of Earl Campbell. Don't forget another guy that we all know, Bruce Matthews, in that Matthews family played down there in Houston for a period of time. And joining us now on the Schneider Orange Hotline, a gentleman had written a book called Son of Bum, Lessons My Dad Taught Me About Football and Life. Wade Phillips, longtime NFL coach, now joining us on the Schneider Orange Hotline. Wade, how you doing?
Good, Bill. Yeah, good. Well, good as can be, right?
Right. In the world we live in, you're absolutely right.
Yeah, I'm like everybody. I'm just sitting around the house doing nothing.
And I writing don't start books. Till noon. Yeah, writing noon, books, so. That kind of thing. So, hey, I want to ask you. I was reading the book, and I started going through the chapters, and one of the chapters is coaching isn't bitching, and it made me laugh because it just sounded like something that you would say, your dad would say. It was just so personality, character-wise, of what it is, which I found a fascinating chapter. Tell me about what the book is about so people that are listening can kind of get an understanding of what it is.
Well, I wrote it to honor my dad, basically, but he did teach me so many things, certainly about football, and so many things in football relate to life itself. So, I mean, we're going through a team thing right now, with all this virus thing, and everybody has to do certain things and not do certain things and do them the right way. That's what you learn doing as a team. So, but I wrote the book because of him, and he had they don't let you have it anymore, but he had a personality that you just don't see around football or NFL or football anymore, really.
You don't see a
head coach with a cowboy hat on the sideline anymore.
Right. No, I completely agree. There were coaches. Hank Stram had a type of personality.
Sure.
Vince Lombardi had a personality.
Right.
I mean, obviously Tom Landry had a personality. I mean, there was a lot of different guys that brought that to the sideline. When you coach, and obviously you're going through the schematics and you're doing things in your head. But is there, at any point in time, do you find it a little surreal that you think, okay, I'm doing this, but this is what Dad would have done?
Yes, somewhat. I mean, because of especially the teaching part, just like that chapter, coaching isn't bitching. Well, coaching really isn't griping about things after they happen. It's teaching people to react to things, but teaching people the things that are going to happen and how to react to them beforehand. So, the little league coaches, they call themselves coaches, but they're griping at the kids all the time. That bothered me, and I wanted to put that out there that, hey, just griping at people isn't really coaching.
I got to ask you, and I was reading this, and they called your dad Flop?
No, my granddad.
Your granddad. Okay. I wanted to make sure because I was reading that and I was going through this and I'm thinking, okay, no, wait a minute. It came out as Bum. I was reading through that chapter and they said Flop, and I wanted to make sure I got it right. Okay.
No, that was my granddad. Their first name, my dad was named after his dad, and he said the best thing he didn't do is name name me the third, but his first name is O-A-I-L, and it's hard to say. It's Oil, and so... therefore, my granddad had a nickname, and my dad had to have a nickname because people couldn't pronounce the name.
You know, I mean, obviously you grow up with football as your career, and you're just kind of, you know, inbred into it, so to speak, because of your dad's profession. But when you start to take away life lessons and such, not just on the field but off the field, some of the things early, more poignant things that maybe your dad passed along to you, what were they, or what sticks out in your mind?
Oh, you know, how to work with people as far as working is concerned. And, you know, it's still the golden rule, treat people like you'd like to be treated. You know, I think that's a big part of coaching and life, you know. And the other thing, I mean, he had a great – he enjoyed every day. He enjoyed every single day. He lived 90 years, and I guarantee he enjoyed every day, win or lose. He still enjoyed life and people. And, you know, that's a great lesson to learn.
I wanted to ask you about the current day and how different it is. You talked about personalities and how your dad had the personality wearing the cowboy hat. And you've actually had to kind of live through the adaptation of what the yesteryear was and what you were allowed to have versus what you can and can't do today. How difficult has it been, or how easy has it been for you to adapt to today's politically correct society, today's mentality of players, because that's really what coaching is adapting to the talent that you have.
Right, and then the overall NFL, you know, it's a corporate. I mean, it's a business, so it's turned into big business, and that's changed with the players because they didn't make, you know, in the old days, they didn't make a whole lot of money, you know. It wasn't a profession that you made more money than everybody else. So that all changed. And then coaching itself, has changed with society changed so much. So, you know, you change with that. So, and some of it's good. Some of it's not as good as it was.
You've obviously had a coaching career.
Yeah, technology helps, but it also, you know, just like we know, hinders some things at times. So it's a different world, and you have to adjust with it, and we try to do that.
Talking with Wade Phillips, longtime NFL coach, co-author of Son of Bum, Lessons My Dad Taught Me About Football and Life, joining us on the Schneider Orange Hotline. You've had a colorful coaching career. You've been in numerous places. The one chapter in the book was with America's team, it's always Super Bowl or bust. How fun was that, and how much pressure was that?
Yeah, both of those things. You know, it was a lot of fun. I mean, and still, you know, we've had some success at different places that I've been, and still, everywhere I go, the most people that recognize me are Cowboy fans. Hey, Wade Phillips, Cowboys, you know.
Right.
But it is a lot of pressure, I guess. But there's a lot of pressure in pro football as a head coach and every team to win. The media and the fans certainly are a part of it everywhere, but they are in Green Bay too. So it's it's pressure to win, no matter, you know, where you're coaching. But it was a lot of fun. I mean, you know, Jerry Jones is a fun guy. He's a great family guy. You know, his whole family works there. You know, he's interesting to work for, I'll say that. because he is he's the general manager and the owner, which, you know, is a good thing in some ways, in that you don't have to go through the general manager to get to the owner, you know. And some, mm-hmm. you know, coach sometimes wants a player, and the general manager doesn't want the player. And so, you got to talk to the owner about trying to get the player. Well, you know, you just go straight to Jerry there and say, hey, we want this guy because of such and such. And then he says, well, yeah or no. So some of it was really good. And being around him and his family, they're a fun family. They're not fun when you get fired, but they're still good people.
What is, because you've seen a lot of football, talk about some of the best teams that you've either been with or that you've coached against, because you have seen a lot of great football in your day.
I mean, 42 years I've been in the league, so there's been a lot of great teams, and I've been with quite a few really good, you know, the one that won the Super Bowl for us was Super Bowl 50 with the Broncos, but I have, you know, it takes a lot to get there. It certainly takes a lot to win that game, but you know, I've been on other teams that were really successful, but we didn't quite get there, one thing or the other. So the Music City Miracle at Buffalo, you know, mm-hmm. I was on the wrong end of that one, and we had the number one defense in the league at that time, and had a really good offense too. So we had a chance there, even at Houston when I was with the Texans, and we lost to the Ravens, who won the Super Bowl. Schaub, our quarterback, got hurt before the game, so they couldn't play. That hurt us. So I think I can go on and on about could have, would have, but we did at Denver. We had a great team there, and I coached with Buddy Ryan with the Eagles. He had just come from the 85 Bears, so the 85 Bears and the Super Bowl 50 Broncos were, you know, pretty good teams.
I get a chance usually at Super Bowl to talk to a lot of coaches, and when I ask them about their careers, a lot of times they smile about some of their early days and learning days, but some of the kicks they get, they talk about going back and keep teaching in college or high school. Tell me about when you were the defensive coordinator for, was it Lucher Stark High School?
Yeah, Lucher Stark, yeah.
Lucher Stark High School. A lot of times people go back to their high school days and college days and say, you know what, I had a great time in the NFL, but I just enjoyed coaching the kids, coaching the guys. Did you enjoy that? Because you had come from Houston as a graduate assistant going right into a high school football program.
Right, I did, and the great thing about football, on any level, high school, college, pro football, with the players and the coaches, is right before the game. It's all the same. Everybody's excited about playing. They want to win. They want to go out and play and do their best. And that hadn't changed, you know. And then, you know, so society and all that other stuff, and cell phones and all that. Has changed, but before the game, it's still the same. And I enjoyed coaching high school, and then in college, I got to coach at Oklahoma State and Kansas. And I'll say one of the biggest moments we ever had was I was at Kansas, and we beat Oklahoma at Oklahoma 23-3, and they had won 29 straight games. So, you know, some of the great NFL victories we had weren't any better than that one.
Right, yeah. I tell you what, I could talk to you for hours. Wade, it's a terrific book, Son of Bum, Lessons My Dad Taught Me About Football and Life. Obviously, with a lot of America sitting at home right now, they've got time to read. So I would highly recommend, if you get a chance to go get this, get it online, have it delivered to you, whatever. It's a terrific book if you're really a historian of football. Wade, I can't say thanks enough. I appreciate your time. I loved watching your career. I've always appreciated your defensive mind and the way you conducted yourself. Thanks so much for joining us for a couple of minutes, my friend, okay?
Thank you, Bill. I enjoyed it.
Absolutely. Thank you. Appreciate it. There you go. That's Wade Phillips, a longtime NFL coach, and he just, as a matter of fact, it was not renewed by the Los Angeles Rams, as they've gone in a different direction with their defense. But, he's got some time on his hand. He sat down with Vic Carucci, and they wrote the book called Son of Bum, Lessons My Dad Taught Me About Football and Life. And you talk about a long time, colorful coaching career, everything from going as a graduate assistant from Houston to Oklahoma State and Kansas and the Houston Oilers, through the Saints, the Eagles, the Broncos twice, the Bills twice, the Falcons, the Chargers, the Cowboys, and then the Rams, and I want to say Houston Texans as well. A lot of time there in the NFL, and he does have a ring as the defensive coordinator when they had Peyton Manning in Denver, and just a lot of neat stuff. He joins us on the Schneider Orange Hotline. Schneider hiring drivers right now. You stay right there, and you do good work, hard work, and they're going to treat you right. That's the way they do it. Call them 800-44-PRIDE or go to schneiderjobs.com. I do want to talk a little NBA when we come back, because to me, I think it's correct. The straw poll is correct. I'll tell you what I'm talking about coming up right after this.
16 stations strong. The Bill Michaels Sports Talk Network.
Welcome back to the program. I had mentioned earlier, man, thanks to Quick Trip, my buddy Mickey is now off to the vet. He's not looking real good today. I'm a little bit worried about him. I had to make a call, and they had to come and pick him up because he got into something. I don't know what it is, but he hasn't been doing well. But last night I was out and about. The vet had told me to go get some ground beef and make some ground beef, just plain, bland ground beef, skillet, drain it all off, drain all the fat and everything off of it, and just give him some meat. Give him a little bit of brown rice, a little bit of peas, and he ate it. He did, but when I went out to get ground beef last night, the stores weren't open. They're closing at 8 and 9 in the evening because they're sterilizing their stores. The one store that was open, thank God for Quick Trip. Quick Trip had some ground beef. I got it home. I got it all cooked up and gave it to him, and at least he's keeping that down. He ended up getting sick really bad. I mean, like, just everywhere last night. Mickey was sick, but stop into Quick Trip. They're just fantastic people. I went in there last night. It was about 9 o'clock, I guess, and they were in there taking everything off the shelves and wiping the shelves down with, you know, like disinfectant wipes, and spraying it down and everything. And they're doing everything they can to remain open and remain your one-stop shop for everything you need and to keep you healthy. So stop in and support your local Quick Trip. And if you're feeling lucky, stop by Quick Trip and enter the Lucky 7 sweepstakes. They're giving away 7 Chevys in 7 weeks to 7 winners. This week, they're giving away on Friday a 2020 Trax. You can purchase any Hershey's or Reese's candy bar or the egg rolls right now, the Min egg roll, hot off the hot spot with your Quick Rewards card, and you're automatically entered to win a brand-new Chevy Trax this Friday. No purchase necessary. See the store for details, though. And Quick Trip, remember, they got you covered. Today only, they have the cheeseburgers for $1. That's it. Go in and get yourself a cheeseburger as well. $1. That is it from our friends over there at Quick Trip. 855-830-8648. If you want to chime in, by all means, go ahead and do it. 855-830-8648. 4-8. So, article on ESPN that had come out a couple of days ago. I was reading this. I saw it yesterday. I read it a little bit this morning. But before the NBA suspended its league season, okay, they put everything on hold. LeBron James was coming off really. He was starting to peak. He was starting to really kind of turn it on down the stretch here. He had put up 37 points and 8 boards and 8 assists in the win over the Bucks. And over Giannis, okay? And he followed that with a 28-point, 8-rebound, 9-assist game over the Clippers. And that was over the reigning finals MVP Kawhi Leonard. But was it enough to really kind of begin to vault him up the leaderboard, as they say, when it comes to the MVP race? The answer is no. In a survey of 70 media members who cover the league, Giannis still the clear leader in the MVP balloting, earning 60 of the 70 possible first-place votes to open a commanding lead over LeBron James, who had an equally commanding lead over the rest of the field. To make the balloting process a little more realistic, ESPN sought to mimic the league's official voting process as closely as possible. They said their MVP voting panel includes a mixture of local beat writers from across the league, as well as national and international reporters, just as the NBA does at the conclusion of the regular season. And to confirm the NBA's voting season, every first-place vote is worth 10 points, followed by 7 for second, 5 for third, 3 for fourth, and on down from there. And using that rubric, if you will, Giannis led the way with 670 of a possible 700 points. He was listed second place behind James on 10 ballots. That was it, where he wasn't listed first. Meanwhile, James was second with 514 points and was either first or second on 68 of the 70 submitted ballots, finishing third on one and fourth on another. By the way, they were also the only players named on every ballot. But the hot start for Giannis and LeBron and the Dallas Mavericks prodigy Luka Doncic, Houston Rockets star James Harden, they were there as well. But Giannis clearly in the unofficial poll conducted by the Four Letter Network, still, as the season sits in limbo right here, right now, still the clear clear MVP once the season resumes. We'll find out how the regular season, the remainder of the season, culminates and then head into the postseason, and hopefully there is. But as of right now, Giannis still the man, and they're getting it right, and that's good. When we come back, John McClain of the Houston Chronicle. A lot going on down there. We're going to try to sort it all out coming up next in the Bill Michaels Show.
Everywhere in Wisconsin, the Bill Michaels Sports Talk Network.
Welcome back. Bill Michaels Show. We continue on. We are glad that you are with us. Thanks so much for taking a listen to us. As always, don't forget Traeger, the Traeger Grill, the official grill of the Bill Michaels Sports Talk Network. And I'm going to do some videos of some grilling coming up here in the next day or two as I'm going to effort out, grab a few things to grub on. And, well, I got to figure out something to do at home, right? And might as well break out the brand-new Traeger Grill and do a couple videos, and maybe you kind of do them along with me. If you have a Traeger Grill, give me some ideas. I'd love to hear from you. 855-830-8648. We now go down, back down kind of to Houston. John McClain of the Houston Chronicle, longtime writer, and I followed him for years and years and years. John now joining us on the Schneider Orange Hotline. John, how you doing?
I'm great, Bill. How are you?
We are doing absolutely wonderful. Hey, I just had Wade Phillips on. He has a lot of fond memories of the Houston Oilers, Houston Texans, obviously of Bum Phillips. You were around to cover those guys. I don't want to date you or anything like that, but you've seen a lot of football and a lot of Bum Phillips and Wade Phillips down there, right?
In 1977, Bum Phillips was in his third year as head coach, and I was covering the original Houston Aeros hockey team for my first year at the Chronicle. And they sent me to Oilers training camp that July. Back then, they had six preseason games and 8 weeks of training camp and a week of rookie training camp. It was so early, we got to go and watch the baseball All-Star game there. And at the place where they were back then, and training camps were dumps compared to what they are now, they had the All-Star game on a black and white TV back in the kitchen. And as a avid baseball fan, I wanted to see it. So I went back and I sat on a bench and watched it. And guy came up and sat down next to me, stuck his hand out and said, "Wade." And I said, "John McClain from the Chronicle." And that's how I met Wade in 1977. And I've known him for years, covered him for years. And when he got fired by the Cowboys as their head coach, he came back to Houston and his father, Bum, was being roasted for charity. And I'll never forget, just about everybody was seated, including Bum, at a table down in front with a bunch of the former Oilers. And Wade walks in and he's coming down the stairs and people start clapping and cheering. And Wade looks behind him to see who's there that they're all clapping for. And then he realized they were cheering for him. And I told him later that night, I said, "It won't surprise me at all if you're not the Texans' next defensive coordinator." And they hired him. That was in 2011, and they went from 30th overall to 3rd overall the first year and made the playoffs, won the division for the first time in Wade Phillips' first season as a defensive coordinator under Gary Kubiak.
That's an amazing story and a long-time friendship, which, you know, it's amazing how friendships and such span the length of time and the length of our careers as well. And obviously you've got the older stories, the younger stories. Deshaun Watson is certainly hitting Twitter and making a lot of eyebrows raise. You've got our guy J.J. Watt down there. Give us the state with what's gone on with Bill O'Brien and the Houston Texans. Give us the state of the Texans right now.
The Texans have won the AFC South four of the last 5 years. They've had one losing record under O'Brien. 2017, when they had 23 players on injured reserve, including 13 starters, including Deshaun Watson as a rookie. So people, though, they don't like O'Brien, and he makes a lot of controversial decisions. For instance, they blew a 24-point lead in the second round of the playoffs at Kansas City, and he went for a fourth down fake punt on his only 31-yard line, backfired, and that ignited the come-from-behind victory by the Chiefs. So people are always mad at O'Brien and want him fired, and instead the owner, Cal McNair, made him the general manager. So then he trades DeAndre Hopkins, and right now people are angrier at any time I've ever seen in Houston football history. Before the DeAndre Hopkins trade, the two moves that drew the most ire from the fans and the media, they traded strong safety Kenny Houston to Washington, and Kenny went on to be in the Pro Football Hall of Fame, and they traded Earl Campbell, their Hall of Fame running back, to New Orleans during the 1984 season, and people went ballistic. But there was no social media. There weren't a lot of talk shows. Wasn't national media. So that's all exacerbated this situation. And right now, there's no way for anybody to justify the trade of DeAndre Hopkins, as they don't have anybody to take his place. And even though they'll use the 8th pick in the second round they got in the trade on a wide receiver in a very good year for receivers, there's still no way they're going to be a better offense or a better team without Hopkins. So the fandom and the media, everybody is still hysterical.
Talking with John McClain, Houston Chronicle writer, down there covering the Texans. And Deshaun Watson didn't come out and say, "I want out," but basically said, "I think what a lot of people were thinking is what's going on." And that move of getting rid of DeAndre Hopkins, do you think it's overall inside that locker room that there are players dissatisfied with what is going on and the direction the team is going?
Well, I wouldn't say the direction the team is going, but nobody likes the Hopkins trade. There's no way they could. Now, players are used to big business decisions. I'm covering NFL for my 44th year, and I've seen a lot of controversy, but players are professionals. Deshaun Watson likes Bill O'Brien. He's told us that many times. When we thought O'Brien might be fired in 2017, all the media was demanding he be fired, and Watson put out things, "Don't fire OB, he's my coach," and he always praised him. They work closely together. They work on game plans together, and O'Brien's called the plays for Watson. Now he's giving it up to his offensive coordinator, Tim Kelly. So Watson, like everybody else, doesn't like the trade, but he's not going anywhere. I saw some idiot saying he'd be playing for the Patriots next year, and I'm thinking, how can you put something that asinine out there, unless it's to get hits, because he's under contract for another 2 years. Then they could franchise him for 2 years, and he's the quarterback they've always wanted, and he gets along great with his coach, and he plays great in a system tailored to him. They've improved his offensive line. They've improved the running game the last two seasons, but, you know, he's upset, I'll guarantee, even though he hadn't expressed it publicly. But he will not be playing anywhere but for the Houston Texans. And they're planning to sign him to an extension during the offseason and committing probably at the time. He'll be the second highest paid quarterback in history to Patrick Mahomes.
How big of a rock star is J.J. Watt down there?
He's as big as it could get. The mayor and the governor better hope that Watt doesn't ever want to run for politics. About 3 years ago, I did a story with J.J., and I asked him, "When your career's over, what do you want to do?" He said, "I want to go back to Pewaukee, coach, get married, raise a family, coach high school football." And I asked him last year, I said, "I bet that's changed because he's got so many options now." And the joke down here is, because they traded Hopkins, who's next? Watt. They're going to trade Watt to Pittsburgh so he can be reunited with his brothers. Well, I think if they traded J.J. Watt, they would burn down Energy Stadium, and they would run Bill O'Brien out of town. And besides, when T.J. gets that next big contract as a premier pass rusher, they wouldn't be able to afford to J.J. and T.J. and J.J. and T.J.
How much does J.J. have left in the tank, in your opinion? He's had some injuries over his career, obviously.
He has, but while he was rehabbing from those injuries, man, he wasn't getting doubled and triple-teamed and beat on all the time. A lot of people thought after he had two back surgeries he would never be the same, and people acted like he should retire. He came back, played 16 games, a second in the NFL in sacks, first-team All-Pro, and then last year making a tackle for a 5-yard loss against the Oakland Raiders, blew out a bicep, and then he came back from that last season, which was typical Watt. Nobody thought he would, and he came back, helped him go to the playoff, helped him beat Buffalo in the first round, and helped him build a 24-point lead in Kansas City that they blew. J.J.'s the most popular player in franchise history, and along with Earl Campbell, the most popular football players in our city's history.
Talking with John McClain of the Houston Chronicle, you do have some info and some intel a little bit on your dealings with Matt LaFleur, correct?
I do. Matt worked here in 2 years with Gary Kubiak and Kyle Shanahan. They met. They worked together. Matt was offensive quality control. And I remember Kubiak was high on him, but Kyle is the one that dealt with him the most. And I believe that that he was recommended to Kyle by Robert Sala, the defensive coordinator of the 49ers, who also was here. And so when Kyle left to go with Washington to be with his dad, Mike, who was the head coach, he asked Gary Kubiak, he said, "Do you mind if I take Matt LaFleur with me? Because I have big plans for him." So Kubiak told him okay, and the rest is history, of course. It was good to see Matt in August when the Texans came up there for 4 days to practice against the Packers and then play them in the preseason, because we got to talk to Matt quite a bit. And at the time, I had no idea, in his first year as a head coach at the time, when everybody up there was speculating about Rodgers, we're going to dominate him, and Rodgers didn't like this and didn't like that, how well they did in Matt's first season. And now that he's adjusted to this, they've adjusted to him, he's adjusted to them, they could be just as good or better in his second season.
John, before I let you go, I got to tell you, I have been to quite a few Super Bowls in my day, and it is my understanding that when the committee got together and they were going to host it down there in Houston, they had asked you, what do you do to get great coverage? And one of the things that you had said was, feed them. That to this day is still, short of New Orleans about 10 years ago, that to this day is still the best food for the media and for Radio Row that I have ever had, and that's to this day the reason we sing the praises of Houston.
Well, I feed them is not exactly right. I said set up a deal close to Radio Row in the media room where people can eat when they come in and they don't have to go out looking for restaurants. And I had no idea it was going to be as elaborate or as good as it was, and it was going to be open so late at night. All the restaurants in downtown Houston who were counting on media people on expense accounts to spend money were really disappointed, because so many stayed right there in the media center because the food, it was so good, and the booze was good, and it was all free. And we're happy to take care of the media, because I always want, when the media leaves and goes home, I want them saying good things about my city.
That it was absolutely spectacular. I mean, we were down in Miami this year, and I'm not going to badmouth Miami, but we were all standing around down in Miami going, God, we wish we were in Houston, because Houston knew how to throw a damn party. I swear to God, it was the chatter specifically for the first 3 or 4 days on Radio Row, which were really sparse. But as things got going, it was fantastic, and we certainly appreciate all the hospitality in Houston, and I hope to get back down there real soon, pal. Appreciate it.
Well, the Packers are going to be back down here this season, and so if you need any food recommendations, let me know. Thanks for having me on, and I hope everyone is staying safe and doing what the experts say we should do during these unprecedented times. Thank you, Bill.
Thank you, John. I appreciate it very much. John McClain of the Houston Chronicle joining us for a couple of minutes. You can find that man. He is class all the way around. McClain at McClain_on_NFL. That is John McClain, worked a long time for the Houston Chronicle. Just a lot of great stories, but just even a better person. Glad to have him on the Schneider Orange Hotline. Schneider, hiring drivers right now. You work hard, they treat you fair. 80-plus years they've been getting it on. Call them 844-PRIDE or go to schneiderjobs.com. By the way, this portion of the program being brought to you by our friends at the Biofuels Association, and they've got a new website out, abetterfuel.org. Now, gas is coming down in price. We know that. The economy is taking a big hit. One of the best case scenarios for us as Americans driving around for whatever it is we need is that you can fill your car up right now, and it's well under $2 a gallon in many places. Some places are 99 cents a gallon, for that matter. But I'm out there saying, if you want to go a little bit cheaper, go with the ethanol fuels. It burns cleaner. It's better for the environment. The best part about it is it keeps the money like a stone in a pond. When you throw that rock in the pond, the ripples continue to go out. It keeps the money in the economy here in the upper Midwest, specifically in Wisconsin, for the corn growers who grow the corn, for the biofuel plant workers who turn it all into ethanol and then turn that into gasoline, and for the retailers all throughout the state in the upper Midwest. It's great for all of us. So continue to go there to abetterfuel.org. That's abetterfuel.org, and see for yourself what it is I've been talking about. Get the information, get the facts right, and do your part. And again, along the way, save yourself some money as well. So coming up next, it is something that excuse me, I swallowed wrong. We need to pass the time, and this is one way to do it. And if you're in the Milwaukee market, you're going to want to listen up. And if you're not, you still have the ability to chime in. Stay tuned. A lot more of the Bill Michaels Show, and we'll tell you what we're doing next.
Wisconsin-wide, the Bill Michaels Sports Talk Network.
Michael Show is on the air. Thanks for taking a listen to us. Reminding you, hey, there's a lot of great local companies that are out there. I'll tell you more about it coming up, but continue to support local. I just got word that Sean, our guys over at Epoxy Flooring Done Right, they're still doing their thing. And by the way, if you're looking to do some stuff in your home and do some home projects, they can be there, get it done within 72 hours. So if you're looking to get something done right now, get the floor of your garage, maybe a basement, some interior paint work done, and done when they take all the precautions to remain healthy and keep you healthy and such as well, call my buddy Sean, 262-443-2852. Support local, 262-443-2852, or simply go to epoxyflooringdoneright.com. That's epoxyflooringdoneright.com. And don't forget, support your locals like San Giorgio, the Napoletana Pizzeria downtown, North Old World 3rd Street, right there with Calderon Club as well. They're still doing takeouts. If you want to get some service work done on your vehicle, J&L Tire Center and Service Center out there in Johnson Creek, they're looking for people to come in, and whether it's Goodyear, Dunlop, Kelly Tires, they've got it all. Truck drivers, if you're out there listening to me and you're on 94 right there at the Johnson Creek exit, highly rated when it comes to trailer repair. They can do it all. Go to jandltire.com. That's jandltire.com. And if you're hungry for a big boy, call ahead, have them bring it out to you. Our buddy Cornet and the whole staff down at Coach's Pub and Grill on South 13th Street in Milwaukee, just great people. Keep supporting local. We keep telling you to get out there and do it if you can, if you can. So tonight, locally, in the Milwaukee market, this is the best music in all of sports. It's not bringing you college hoops, but there is a bracket that will be revealed. Tonight, on 105.7 FM, The Fan, 5 o'clock Central, they're going to reveal the bracket that is going to give the ultimate personality the crown. The Fan's been around for, what is it, Joe, 15 years?
15 years, yep.
15 years, and has seen a lot of different personalities come and go, whether it's a contributor like a guy like Adam McAlvey, you know, Gary Ellerson, Leroy Butler. I've been there now 10 years. Steve Sparky Pfeiffer's been there from the really beginning of the thing. But we have seen a lot of guys come and go. So, Joe, now you are part of this, weaning it down to the top, what, 64?
Yes.
Okay.
So, literally, We thought about doing a 128 bracket because there have been so many people that have worked for the Fan staff that have been contributors. And, you know, when I talk about contributors, not just like our insiders like an Adam McAlvey, or an Eric Name or a Paul Emig, but also just former players. I mean, you know, on this program alone, we've had guys like Jonathan Lucroy and Mike Daniels who have been, Ed Cedar. I mean, they have been huge contributors for us over the years. So we really, after we were told that we could only do 64, it was really hard to make cuts. So we made a lot of cuts, and hopefully the 64 that we came up with will be very suitable. I mean, you can't please everyone. I think there'll be some people that are going to be mad that they weren't included in this final bracket. I'll ask you this, though, Bill. Will you be offended if you are not the number one seed in the tournament?
You know, I'm just glad to be in the tournament. I'm like a coach who just says, hey, we're just there. We'll do our best. Like, what the hell can I do? It's just, you know. No, I just want to see how it all pans out and what sports fans have felt is their favorite. I'm good with that. You know, I'm glad we have more than a couple people listening to us each and every day on the network. So we'll see what happens. Let the chips fall where they may. But tonight, the Field of 64 is unveiled. Hang in there. I got a lot more of the Bill Michaels Show. We'll talk about one of the guys that's going to be in the Field of 64. Gary Ellerson joining us next in the Bill Michaels Show.